This true belief may be found and acquired even by the mortal, and no man will be excused from the penalty of the great law of compensation by his plea that he did not think it very material what his beliefs were if he tried to do right in the world towards his fellow man. But here, you will see that in addition to the fact that this great law accepts no excuse is the fact that man's acts and deeds proceed from his beliefs, whenever such are strong enough to control him. And when the beliefs are unformed, and man acts from emotion or impulse or desire only, without the constraint of any belief, the result upon his progress to the perfect man is substantially the same, because this law, in order to escape the penalty for its violation, demands that beliefs, formed or unformed, or acts and deeds resulting from emotion or impulse, which are really beliefs without definite form, shall be in harmony with the truth. The infidel who says he doesn't believe, the agnostic who says he doesn't know, the orthodox who believes, but whose belief is erroneous, and the free thinker who believes only what reason teaches him as he proclaims, if such beliefs are not in accord with the truth all come under the same, the Paget Messages 1917, penalty, that is, the impossibility of becoming the perfect man while such erroneous beliefs or want of true beliefs exist. So I say, belief is a vital thing in the progress of a man towards perfection, and men should cease to declare and rest on the assurance of such declaration that it makes no difference what a man believes if he does what he may consider to be right and just. Why, I, you know, tell you that the earth planes of the spirit world are crowded with the spirits of men who are in darkness and stagnation in their progress towards the perfect man solely from the causes that I have above written, and some men have been in that condition for many long years, and will not find progress except as such erroneous beliefs leave them and beliefs in accord with the truth take the place of the former. But for man and spirits there is this consolation, that at some time, how long in the future I or no other spirit know, these erroneous beliefs will all be eradicated and man will again come into his original perfection. But the waiting may be long and distressing, and wearisome to many. I have written enough, and in closing will say to all men, know and realize that the belief of a man is a vital and determining element in his progress to the perfect man. I am pleased to write you tonight, and will soon come again. Keep your faith and courage and you will realize the promises. Good night and God bless you. Your brother in Christ, Luke. January 5, 1917. I am here, John. I merely want to say that you must keep up your courage and belief that everything will be fulfilled as we have promised, for while there may appear to be a delay in realizing the things that you desire, yet they will surely come and you will get what you want and in the condition that you think is necessary to enable you to live the life that will make you able to do the work of the Master without the interference of your earthly affairs. You may be surprised that I should write in this way, but I am interested particularly in your accomplishing the great mission that has been bestowed upon you, and I want to tell you that I have been specially designated to attend you in the way of a helper and inspirer of those things that will work to the accomplishing of our plans to reveal to mankind the truths that will cause their salvation and redemption. I am not given to interfering in material affairs, but in your case I see that these things stand in the way of your carrying out our designs, and hence they must be gotten rid of, and I will try, as are many others trying, to relieve you of these differences. So with all this you must not suppose that you are not to do your part in accomplishing this end, for you must work with us and bend all your efforts to bring about the desired end. Many here of the high spirits wish to communicate to you, and they are waiting for you to get into a condition that will enable them to deliver their messages as they wish to do. Think more of the Father and His love and of the great privilege that you have in coming in close communion with these high spirits and receiving the benefit of their love and influence, for you are favored in this particular and in love, relying upon you as our greatest instrument by which we are to accomplish our design, and you must not let anything stand in the way of helping us to fulfill our plans. You will find that you will receive more and more of this divine love and a greater soul development as you continue in this work, and ultimately you will become a very happy and spiritual man doing much good, and will have displayed in you the wonderful powers of the workers of old who lived with the Master and performed many things that were called miracles. So I say, try to realize the importance of the work that you have to do and the powers that will be given you. for I must tell you now that never since the days of the apostles have such honors been given to a man. Well, I know just how you feel in respect to my prophecies, but what I say will become true and you will live to see all these things fulfilled. Not that it is not a part of your work at this time now, you are only to receive these messages and also the wonderful soul development that I speak of, for this latter is necessary to your receiving the promise that I speak of, as these powers will be entirely things of a spiritual origin, and unless you are in condition of soul to receive them they cannot come into your possession. After this shall have been accomplished, then you will do work of a kind to demonstrate to the world the genuineness of your messages, and for this purpose you will do things that by many will be considered miraculous, and from them such good will come to man, not only physically but 490, the Paget Messages 1917, spiritually. I came to tell you this because I see that the time is here when you must understand and fully appreciate the importance of your work, as well as of the relationship that you sustain to God's spiritual instrumentalities in bringing about the great results that we desire and which men so much need. Well, I will not write more now, but let me impress upon you the necessity of considering and meditating on what I have written. Jesus is the one great instrument in doing this work, and upon you he depends for that part of the work which belongs to the material. He is with you very often, and he loves you with a very deep and lasting love, and is exerting his promise to help you and enable you to do his work. And many spirits, both in the celestial and in the spiritual heavens, are with you in love and care, and are trying to help you both spiritually and individually. So remember this, and when you become discouraged think of the fact that you have sustaining you the wonderful love and power of the spirit world and of spirits who are high up in the celestial spheres and have more of divine love of the Father than have any other spirits in all God's universe. So with my love and blessing, I'm your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Helen. Well, my dear old Ned, I am here to love you and encourage you and tell you that you must try to have more faith, and you will soon realize that you have about and in you a sustaining influence that will enable you to overcome every obstacles. I am glad that John came and wrote you as he did, for we all see the importance of your realizing to the fullest that the position that you occupy in this work, and the great importance of your receiving these truths that the Master and High Spirits shall write you. I cannot tell you how happy I am when I know that you have been so favored, and with what a great love and power will be given to you to do this work. These spirits, if you could see them, would amuse you to know that they are the greatest and the most highly developed of all God's spirits, and that they are so in earnest about this matter. So try to have more faith and pray for more love, and your soul will become so largely developed that you may, in some degree, by your soul perception, realize what wonderful beings surround you and are working with and loving you. I came today because I felt your thoughts of love and aspirations flowing to the Father, and I feel that you needed me to write just a few words of love and cheer. We will be with you tonight, and you may get some deep messages of the truth and consolation for yourself as well as for your fellow mortals. Remember that your Helen is with you in all her love and influence, and is very happy when she realizes that you love her so much. Well, you must not write more today, as it will not do you good physically. So knowing that you love me and trust and want me with you, I am your own true and loving, Helen. January 7, 1917. I am here, John. I was with you tonight and heard this, and was interested in the great number of people that were present, intently listening to the words of the speaker. To you, the most significant element in the meeting should be the large number of persons present, evidently interested in the teachings of spiritualism or in what they supposed might be manifested as the workings of the spirits. It shows that many of earth are deeply interested in this truth and desire to learn whatever may be taught and demonstrated, and such evidence should be inspiring to you in your work of receiving and preparing the great truths that come to you through the medium of spiritualism. The people are longing for the truths of which they know not, but intuitively feel must exist somewhere, and hope that a revelation of them may, in some manner, come to their hopeful souls. So, become more earnest in your desire to receive these truths, and give more of your time, that can be spared from your business, to receiving the messages, and you will the sooner accomplish the work and get in stronger rapport with those who write. After tonight we will come more frequently and more regularly, and deliver our messages, and will not permit these other messages that you may call personal, to interfere with the transmission of ours. I am glad that you are in so much better condition tonight, and assure you that you may continue to grow better and better, if you will only follow our advice. Try your best to cast aside your worries. Have faith in us and in our promises, and you will not be disappointed. I will come soon and write you another message. Well, the fact is that she, Mrs. Gates, was controlled by a spirit part at the time that she was speaking, and he suggested to her some of the 491, the Paget messages 1917, thoughts that she gave utterance to, but most of her declarations of prophecy came from her own mind, as they had been lodged therein by her observations and thoughts. What she said was really her own prognostications rather than prophecy. The spirit who controlled her, impressed upon her his thoughts as to what the future might be, and her speculations were as reliable as his, except that he has a wider scope of vision as to causes that may bring about results, such as she spoke of. As we have told you before, no spirit has the gift of prophecy, as mortals term it, arising from a supernatural or omniscient power, and these prophecies should be accepted with all the allowance that want of knowledge on the part of spirits or mortals will justify. Some of those who heard her may believe in what she said and be benefited by it, for she said some things that are helpful, and in that view some good may come from her lecture, but to accept what was said as known truths is a deception, and should not be accepted. I will not write more tonight. Remember what I have said, and believe that I love you and am trying to help you. Good night. Your brother in Christ, John. I am here, Samuel. I will say a few words only. I am glad that John wrote so encouragingly, as it will do you good, and I want to substantiate what he said. You may look for better conditions now. Only keep up your courage and have faith in what we write you. You have my love and blessings. So believe in us all, and let not the things that appear insurmountable discourage you. I will come soon. Good night, your brother in Christ, Samuel. I am here, Helen. Well, my dear, I am glad that John wrote you as he did, and you must believe in what he said. I was also glad that you are in so much better condition and that you have set aside your worries. Soon this burden will not come to you and you will be free. I was with you tonight and heard the prophecies, and as John said, they were mostly speculations of the medium and also of the spirit who controlled her. No reliance can be placed upon what she said as prophecies. Many of the things that she mentioned may come true, for there are many causes in operation that will bring about some of the effects that she mentioned. 492. Well, I will not write more tonight, and I would advise you to go to bed early and get up early. It will help you very much in every way. Believe that I love you and am your own true and loving, Helen. January 8, 1917. I am here, Nathan Plummer. I want to say a word. The Indian tried to stop me, but your wife said let him write, and I am doing so. Well, I am still in hell, and suffering, and I wish that I could die again, but I cannot and will have to stand it. I can't even be deaf, was very deaf when he lived in the flesh, so that I might escape some of my torments, for I am surrounded by the most hellish beings you can imagine, and I have to listen to them. It is no use trying to fight, for I can't hurt anybody, and they became more annoying when I did try to punch one of them. It is awful, and so I regret that I did not listen and try to understand what the doctor so often told me when on earth. But now it is too late. I often hear what he says to you now in your conversations, but for some reason I can't quite understand, and besides, if I did, these damned ugly spirits would not call the understanding out of me. It is hard to learn what you call heavenly things in hell, and I am so unhappy and see no way to relief. The doctor's father talked to me and told me some things that were like what the doctor told me, and I felt better when he was telling me, and some hope came to me, but when I got back into my hell and saw all the horrors and the shrieking, ugly spirits, I forgot, and the hell feelings came to me again, and I suffered. Oh, if I could only find some relief from these torments. Well, I will try again, for I know that Mr. Stone is kind and wants to help me, but my trouble is, that I doubt if he can, but I will go as you advise and try to believe that he can. I am very thankful to you and the doctor and will try to hope anything to get out of this place and away from these devils. Your wife says I must stop. So good night, Nathan Plummer. I am here, St. Luke. I want to write a few lines upon a subject that may be of interest to you both. You have remarked upon the expression obtained in the letter that you have just received that it is hard to learn of heavenly things in hell. It is a statement in a succinct way of a great truth, and one, if it, the Paget Messages 1917, were known and fully appreciated by mortals, it would cause them to realize the necessity of thinking and learning of these heavenly things while on earth. I know that many say they will not believe in the orthodox hell, or in the necessity of troubling themselves about the future, or that they will take their chance in the hereafter, if there be one. If these persons could realize the meaning of such a course of life, they would not leave their future to chance, but would, while on earth, seek for these heavenly things, and make a start for the realization of these things now, and not wait until they had left the form of flesh. They say that a just God will not punish them by condemning them to eternal torment, and they are correct, and while this just God does not condemn them at all, yet they are condemned by a law that is just as invariable as is the love of that God, and that law brings its certain punishment, even though it may not be eternal. But it is certain, and upon the spirit itself depends very largely its duration. If the spirit finds itself in that condition that it cannot make a start towards its redemption, until a long time after its coming into the spirit world, then that punishment will longer continue, and, if the start depends, as it does very frequently, upon the ability and capacity of the spirit to receive and understand those things that will start it upon its progress, then many spirits will remain for years and years in the condition in which they find themselves when they first come to their homes in the hells. There is nothing in these places to induce or help the understanding of these heavenly things, but, on the contrary, everything to prevent and obstruct such understanding, even hopelessness and beliefs in an eternity of punishment, and, frequently, want of knowledge that there is any other or better place than where they find themselves. And I want to say here, that within the spirit there is nothing that has the qualities or powers to start it on a progression, and in this sense, the old Bible expression, that as a tree falls so shall it lie, is true. Even as to the natural love, these spirits in the hells cannot initiate a start towards high thoughts and beliefs, and only when some influence from without comes to them, can they have an awakening of their dormant better and true natures, so that their progress may commence. I don't mean by this that it is necessary that some high and spiritual helper shall come to them, but only that some influence from outside of 493, themselves must come in order for them to have an awakening. This influence may be from a spirit in an apparently similar condition to their own, but which has received some glimpse of uplifting truth that it may convey to the dark brother spirit. All spirits can help others who are in a lower or more stagnant condition than themselves, and sometimes they do, but the great trouble here is, that unless the possibly helping spirits have some desire to benefit their fellow spirits of darkness, they do not try to help, and so as your friend says, it is hard to learn of heavenly things in hell. He realizes that fact fully, and even with the help that has been offered and will be given him, he will find it difficult to make a start. The mortal life is not the only place of probation, but it is the most important place, and the easiest for man to make his start in, and understand the beginning of these heavenly things. I will not write more now, but will soon come and write a formal message. So with my love to you and friend, I will say to you both, have faith and let not doubt come to you as to the heavenly things that we have written you about. Good night. Your brother in Christ, Luke. I am here, James. I want to say a few words to you and the doctor, for as you know I am especially interested in him as his guardian and spiritual helper. I of course do not have the opportunity to write him as often as I should desire, but yet I am with him very much trying to help him in his soul developing and in his spiritual understanding of the heavenly things that Luke has just written of, and I am glad to inform him that he is progressing in his soul development, and in his rapport with the spirits of the higher spheres. I am with him frequently as he tells others of the divine love, and the other truths pertaining to the spirit world, and sometimes I suggest to him thoughts, which I see may be beneficial to his hearers. He may think that sometimes the thoughts that he conveys to those with whom he talks are thrown to the winds and leave no impression on the minds of his hearers, and sometimes this is true, but I must tell him here, that in many cases they take root, at least, for the time being, and cause these hearers to think and wonder if there can be any truth in what they hear, and as to how they may learn more of the things that are told them. He is doing a good work in this way, and must continue to do so, for there is no telling when a word or idea dropped into the mind of other, the Paget Messages 1917, people, may find lodgment, and grow into greater and wider thoughts, and cause serious inquiries as to the truth. What he says has this advantage over what is generally taught as to religious matters, and that is that his thoughts as he expresses them are new and not objectionable to reason, and as a consequence the hearers wonder how the thoughts could have arisen and give to their consideration more attention than they otherwise would do. All the world is ready for the truth that will satisfy the soul and liberate the mind from greeds and unreasonable beliefs, and whenever anyone speaks such truth it is heard no matter what its source. The anxious soul will grasp it, and often meditate over it. He must keep up his courage and belief in his spirit friends, who are behind and with him, helping him in this part of his work, for it is a part but not the important part. Have faith and let his soul reach out more and more for the great love of which he speaks and believes in, and he will realize in the not far distant future a power that he little conceives of. He must know this also, that he is being prepared and developed for the great work which he has to do, that will help very largely to make certain and convincing the truths that you are receiving in the messages. He must have patience and he will not be disappointed, for the powers that are with him are great enough to carry forward the great work which is set before him to do. Even now they could fill him with the power which will be his, but the time is not yet in the order of the plan which has been determined on for the forwarding of the work that must be done. I am pleased that I could write this tonight, as I feel that though he has much faith, yet he must also have encouragement based on what will be his as the time comes for helping humanity. Love is the great thing, and he who teaches the way to that love is a great instrument in the work of the Father, and his position of a good and faithful servant will be one that even angels may envy. This is not extravagance, but actual truth, and I know that when he shall have finished his work, and come to his spirit home, he will realize that what I have said is a faint representation of the actual fact. I must not write more tonight. With my love to you both, and the promise of continuous help, I will say, good night. Your brother in Christ, James. I am here, Samuel P. Shannon. Let me tell you that you and the doctor need someone to look after you in your mental qualities, as you are the most gullible men that I have heard talk for a long time. I have heard what you just said in reference to your experiences in connection with these writings and the efforts made by spirits to convince you that your communications were from the higher spirits, even the spirits of the celestial heavens. I feel sorry that you should be so weak as to believe all these false and flattering things that have been said to you. So as I am a spirit who knows and loves only the truth, and do not desire to see anyone deceived, I feel it my duty to tell you that you have had only deceiving spirits write you, who take great delight in making you believe that you have received communications that have not been equaled by the writings that any other medium in all the wide world has received. Of course, you have received some wonderful truths and some beautiful sayings, but they are merely the efforts of spirits who think that they know all of the truth of the spirit world. And I advise you to let these things go from your mind and listen only to spirits who are honest and who know of what they write. I am one of those who are capable to tell you the truths that exist in our spirit world and that are only necessary for mortals to know. Much has been written you about the divine love and its effect upon the souls of men, making them, as it were, very gods. And I want to say that the only divine love is the pure love that exists in the hearts of spirits who have been purified of sin, and had their intellects developed in the highest degree. So my friends, give up this belief in the divine love, and put all your efforts to the cultivation of your minds. And there is another kind of love that you have been told of, and in the belief in which you have had great satisfaction, and expectations created of coming into a wonderful and ecstatic happiness when you shall come into the spirit world, and that is the soulmate love. How foolish to believe in any such love! Our soulmates are our acquirements of knowledge, and not female spirits. The women here are very much like they are on earth, and they love one male for a while and then get tired and seek another. I thank God that they have never been able to fool me. I see so much of the treachery of these female spirits that I shun them, and as a consequence, they call me the woman hater, and so I am, and I do not regret it. 494, The Paget Messages 1917, My companions are only spirits like myself, having a friendship for one another, but no such thing as what they call love, especially soulmate love. Sometime, before many years, you will come to the spirit world, and I beg that you will let me warn you before you come, to put no faith in what is told you about this soulmate love, and if you will listen to and take my advice, you will be saved much unhappiness. I write thus as a friend and well-wisher, and you must believe that I am wholly impartial and honest in what I say to you. I live in the second sphere, where there are many intellectual spirits who find much happiness and satisfaction in the development of their minds, and are not troubled by the women, or the ghost of what is called the divine love. Occasionally I see some spirits who claim to have the divine love, and some who claim to have soulmates, but I pay no attention to them, and consider them fanatics and deceived spirits. Well, they are different in appearance from us. They seem to be much brighter and, as they claim, happier, but this is due only to the fact that they are frivolous, that is, they never give any consideration to the investigation of the important things of the spirit world, and flitter about from sphere to sphere as if they had nothing else to do than find amusement and pleasure in their joy rides, as I have heard some of you mortals express it. Yes, they don't seem to be confined to any sphere, and that is something that I don't quite understand, for we who are so much more substantial and work so hard to learn the truths, cannot pass into the higher sphere. This I don't understand, and neither do my associates. But it may be that these spirits that I speak of are of such little importance that the guardians of the higher spheres do not pay any attention to them. At least, they are never stopped in their moving from our sphere to the higher ones. Well, I will consider what you suggest, and as you say, it can do no harm, and as I can spare time enough to make the inquiry of one of these spirits, I think that I will do so, merely to learn what their idea is of the reason that they have such freedom of movement and we have not. I see the Indian who is acting as your guide, and he to an extent is another one of these foolish spirits. He says that I am a wonderful spirit in my own mind, and that if I continue to develop in my opinion of my own importance and greatness, I will soon be sitting on the right hand of God. He seems serious, but I do 495, not know whether to think that he is really impressed by my appearance and intellectual greatness, or whether he is saying what he does, ironically. But I suppose he is serious, for being an Indian he cannot have much intellectual development and must be impressed by my superior qualities. Well, my friend, I am glad that I could write you tonight and do you the friendly turn that I have, for I am a lover of humanity and wish to do all the good that I can to my fellow man. I must stop now, as a spirit who says she is your soulmate, comes to me and says that I have been indulged enough, and, of course, wishing to get away from her, as from all other females, I must leave, but you must think of what I have written. Your friend, Samuel P. Shannon, one-time scientist of England. I am here, Helen. Well, dear, I see that you and the doctor enjoyed the last message, as did we who saw him write, and I must say that he is one of the most self-opinionated spirits that I have met for a long time. He is not very pretty, or rather attractive looking, and has considerable darkness in his appearance, yet he is evidently a hard student of what he calls intellectual things. He does not like the females, and I have my doubts that they make any very great efforts to win his affections. But anyhow, he considers himself safer in shunning them, as he says. If you could have seen the expression on White Eagle's face when he so highly eulogized the spirit, you would have been unable to restrain your laughter, and we could not, but we made ourselves invisible to him so that he could not see us. Well, the writing shows you the result of spirits believing that the mind is the only thing that needs development, and we want to tell you that this spirit may continue in this condition of undeveloped soul for many long years to come. But as you advised him to seek an interview with some of the spirits who have the development, which only the divine love can give, it may cause some benefit to him.